are listening to Wells Tech, episode 611, recorded on Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. Bullying. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today, we are joined by semi-regular classroom technology correspondent Jason Schmidt to talk about bullying, cyberbullying, but especially maybe iMessage bullying. We review a couple different articles and talk about peer pressure and some of the things that are maybe not new, but certainly maybe more pronounced in this digital age. So you're going to want to tune in for that discussion. We have Justin Lippert also joining us from Winnebago Lutheran Academy, talking about Google administration, sharing some of his tips and tricks for those of you that need to manage Chromebooks and Google administration over that that whole G Suite infrastructure. We have news and tech, Wells Now picks of the week, some great educational ones there you're not going to want to miss as well. Ministry resource, community feedback, the whole shooting match. All that and more coming up. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs, and you're joining episode 611, September, check my dates, 24th, 2019. Thanks for joining us. Joining me, as usual, talk about tech and ministry, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Good afternoon, Mr. Spriggs. It is a sunshiny day here in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, in more than one way, because the sun's shining outside our windows, but we have a little extra Wells Tech sunshine to add to the conversation today.
Mr. Sunshine, Jason Schmidt's joining us. Hey, Jason, how are you?
Hey, doing great. The sun's shining up here in Econo Falls, too, so we're in the same state now. This is kind of a different experience for me, but
coming
super excited
up on
to be a part.
Any little trepidation approaching your first winter in a while up in Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin?
You know what? No. hey, we still had plenty of snow and we still had plenty of wind and poor weather and things like that down in Omaha. So I am not concerned.
Fearless.
About yeah, that's exactly right. I'm fearless.
I'm actually
but we'll
fearful.
We'll see. I think I'm gonna have to buy a snowblower though. I haven't owned a snowblower in 12 years, so more than that actually, because I didn't have one in Florida either. So we'll see how that whole thing goes. But I'm excited.
And I guess Sally, for you, is this your first winter in a while?
First winter in a year. Yeah, we had last year off, and it was good year to miss. It was a really rough year. We were enjoying Louisiana and Mississippi and Arkansas last winter.
Well, we'll all pray for a mild winter.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what the Farmer's Almanac says, but we can pray anyway.
Right? We have the power of prayer. We're just starting fall. We don't need to think about such negative
things. That's right. I shouldn't have even brought it up. We are having Jason join us for our regular classroom technology conversations or educational technology conversations. Jason, remind us again where you are and what you're doing.
So I am the instructional technology coach for Oconto Falls Public Schools. So up near Green Bay, but like about a half hour north. Is the school district that I'm working in. So I get a focus on working directly with teachers and kids and more on the technology integration side of things. So, the area of things that's maybe a little bit closer to my heart, a little bit more in line with my experience and the kinds of things that, I really love about technology in school, get to, just help people grow, which is really an awesome experience so far.
Yeah, you've had 4 or 5 weeks in, so things are going well?
So far, so good. Yeah, I'm keeping busy, and, my calendar keeps on filling up, and people keep on asking me to come back. So I guess, I'm not turning people off to the concept too much.
Well, we keep asking you to come back to the podcast with good reason. You bring your own brand of sunshine. We're going to talk about kind of a serious topic, however. We were kind of fishing around for what we were going to do this year, and, we'll probably do a little bit more a la carte kinds of topics. And one of these, the topic that we're looking at today, just kind of crossed my desk about a month ago. I ran across a couple of articles. There seemed to be kind of a theme going on in social media and across some tech magazines and magazines like Fast Company, talking about iMessage bullying. And those of you that don't know the iPhone ecosystem, there's a very popular app. In fact, probably one of the core apps on all iPhones and iPads is iMessage. iMessage is an SMS / messaging app. And one of the causes for concern is that when an Android user jumps in or is invited into one of those iMessage conversations, they're clearly identified by the iPhone software, the iOS software, as a non-iPhone user because their little indicator in the chat, in the string of messages, is kind of an ugly green bubble.
Ugly
and
green.
All the in crowd, so to speak, on the iPhone is a pretty blue. So these articles, and we'll put a link to these articles in the show notes, there's a certain amount of stigma that's attached on many different levels, from adults all the way down to kids, when a green bubble invades the confines of the blue bubble chat. And there are a number of examples in the articles, as you'll read, that where people actually switched. Kids actually switched from Android phones to iPhones just to fit in. So, and that's a concern. And I think that raises maybe a bigger topic of maybe what I would call iBullying, so to speak. You know, just a, and this is not anything new, but it certainly comes to the fore when we're talking about this stuff. So, you guys read the articles. Any thoughts, initial thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, as a very happy and satisfied green bubble user, it was something that, you know, for me anyways, it's kind of difficult for me to wrap my head around that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand the difference in the technology, and you know, maybe I just don't understand. I don't realize what I'm missing by not being an iPhone user, but you know, from my perspective and all of the things that I see in there, you know, it's definitely a very real concern, you know, especially when we're talking about kids and tech and, you know, the kinds of things that, you know, we get for our children. You know, I'm a parent. I've got two teenage children. One of them has an iPhone and one of them does not. And, you know, it kind of locks me into, a very limited number of options for the ways that I provide that kind of technology and connectedness for my kids. And, you know, it's definitely a conversation worth having, though, to see, you know, how do kids navigate that kind of stuff? Because this is a completely foreign concept to me.
Yeah. I think one of the challenges is that the iMessage app has some extended functionality that only works on iPhones.
Right.
And so by introducing the green bubble, it downgrades the entire chat. If it was, you know, say five iPhone users and one Android user, none of the iPhone users can use those advanced features. And I'm not even familiar with using those because I use iMessage for text chats,
right.
You know. But apparently they're making use of some fun features
emoji
in the app.
And, yeah,
right.
There's quite a few things.
And so that's where the bullying comes in, that they don't want to lose their functionality
right.
because someone using an Android downgrades their conversation. And so they will switch conversations and not invite the Android user or whatever. And so I think it has its subtleties to it.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely I could see kids feeling left out
mm-hmm.
and bullied in the process. And
clearly it's happening. We see this in our own family right now. We've got my youngest daughter and her husband both use Android phones happily, but we obviously have reasons to have chats. And one of the things that happens when they are included, and we don't exclude them,
nice of
is
you.
when you send video, it degrades it to a very low resolution. even if the video was taken at a higher resolution. So that's somewhat frustrating. So what we've done is we go to another platform,
cool.
Right?
Yep. We
go
Slack
to Messenger, Facebook Messenger for some of those conversations that are a little bit wider and are nicer to have some of the features that some of those tools bring, and they have great, probably comparable tools. Mm-hmm. But I think to the point here, and this has always been the case, for all ages, there is an opportunity for sin, envy, bullying, whatever, to be injected in a relationship for even the smallest of things. And that's something that we have to be aware of, even though we maybe haven't experienced it ourselves. You can almost anticipate that this, could be a problem. And we see it in social media all the time, and the haves and the have-nots, and, the cool kids and the not-so-cool kids. And it's important to recognize that and teach the fact that, we are all created in God's image and should be treated as such.
Yeah, and that was one of the things, too, like the article that you shared from Android Authority. When he's getting down to his advice about the kid and, what do you do with that? Basically just says, let's replace that iMessage thing with the newest pair of shoes or, something else like that. It really just goes to show there is nothing new under the sun. When I was in middle school, it was Jabot jeans and Air Jordans, right? There's probably a bunch of our audience that'll relate to that.
Not me. I'm a lot older than you, apparently.
But, those kinds of things.
You don't have Air Jordans in the back of the closet someplace, Sally?
Polo shirts, Ralph Lauren polo shirts.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. So, these things, they change shape, they change form, but really it's all still the same thing. It comes down to we're envious of things that other people have, and that's something that we have to deal with just, the same way that we would deal with any other issues of sin in our classrooms. We've got to talk to kids, and we got to, tell them, teach them about, this is the way that, that God would have us act and how we would deal with these things. And, we're going to deal with the issues that come up in that way. But the always on and the always access, with some of the cyberbullying and the technology stuff is, it becomes almost impossible for kids to get away from it. And that, I think, is one of the things that makes this a little bit more severe maybe than some of those other issues.
Definitely. So we did spend time last year looking at the book Faithfully Connected, and probably worth interjecting and linking back to their chapter 5, where they talked about digital etiquette and had examples of lesson plans and things that you can use with your classroom for educating students in this area and extending it to educating the family as well.
Right. And one of the things that occurred to me as I was reading these articles is it really puts a premium on good parenting. Mm-hmm. Parents staying connected with the kids, understanding what's going on, not only in their physical lives, but definitely their digital lives. So not just caring for, clothes on their back and shoes on their feet and food in their stomachs, but, what's going on, on their phones or watches or game systems, which is somewhat of a challenge for some parents because they didn't go through that. They didn't have those channels or those venues to really be concerned about. But that's where all of this happens nowadays. I sound pretty old when I use that phraseology, but that's where kids live. When they're out of school, they're on their phones, they're on their game systems, that's the social. To us, it was, out in the backyard or the lot behind, around the corner playing baseball or whatever. But that's not the world our kids live in. So we have to kind of get tuned into that and understand that. So and be aware that there are some conversations that should be had preemptively Obviously great chances to share law and gospel. Because your kid may not be bullied. He may be, or she may be, a bully. You know, and we have to obviously curb that sinful nature and bring God's word into the equation.
And we have to put down our phones ourselves long enough to do that.
Yep. It
takes
time. We have to model it.
Effort.
Yep.
Modeling. Yes.
Yep. All right. Well, if our listeners have any experience with these kinds of things, again, we'll put a link to these articles in the show notes. But if you have advice or examples that you'd like to share, please give us a shout. Go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and leave a comment. We have lots of links to social networks there. Send us an email, wellstech@wells.net, with your thoughts on this topic. And let's learn from each other. Having said that, speaking of learning from each other, we got somebody smarter than ourselves, certainly smarter than me, on the show related to Google administration, and that's Justin Lippert. Justin is the tech coordinator at Winnebago Lutheran Academy, and he did a talk at this summer's Wells EdTech Lead Conference on Google administration. And we asked him, we interviewed a number of people coming up to or preceding the event kind of as an advertisement and to get some of the word out about some of the good talks that were going to go on at the summit. But we didn't get to everybody. And Justin was good enough to come on and share some of the concepts that he shared within the talk itself. So let's have a listen to that interview, and then we'll come back.
Joining us today on Wells Tech is Justin Lippert, who teaches at Winnebago Lutheran Academy and is our kind of guy. He's the tech coordinator there. Welcome, Justin.
Hi, glad to be on and work with you guys.
So I looked back in Wells Tech archives and found that we had interviewed you way back in 2013, I think, when you and I were at a Google conference together. So it's been a while.
That feels like a long time, I think. And I think, too, I was with you guys when we built the Chapel of the Christ at MLC. We did some of the AV walkthrough there, too, to show that off. So that's even longer ago. So
excellent. Yeah, we've been around a while. But maybe our listeners haven't been around quite that long, so they would love to get to know you a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about Justin, your work, your hobbies, those kind of things?
Sure. I'm going into my eighth year here at Winnebago Lutheran Academy. I've been the technology coordinator for 7 of those 8 years. We have been a one-to-one Chromebook program for the past, we're going into our 5th year with that. So we've had them around for a long time, even longer than that, about 7 years we've been working with Chromebooks. So over the last few years, I've had a lot of experience with those and all things Google. It's been fun to see how they've transformed since 2013 is when we first got started with them. So,
excellent. Well, we wanted to follow up on our Summer EdTech Lead Summit. We didn't get to talk to everybody that we wanted to, and your sectional there was one of that was very well received and a very timely topic, using the G Suite Admin Console. I know there are a lot of people out there maybe that are even just getting started with administering Chromebooks in their schools. It seems to be a little bit daunting, kind of like a rabbit hole that you can get sunk
into. Oh, yeah, it totally is. You can do all sorts of things with it. That's one of the things that has really grown with Chromebooks is just the amount of things that you could do with the admin console. It's changed faces. I feel like it's changed faces probably 6 or 7 times since I've used it. And every year you get to find out something new that they stick in.
So what are those absolute musts that are on Justin's list if you're setting up new Chromebooks?
Sure. For me, my goal is always to make life super easy for the students that use it. So if a teacher says, I need you to go to Google Classroom, they can hopefully do that within one click. So I like to do things like pin some of the more common apps and I force them onto the Chromebook. So like if they have to check their email or go to Google Drive, using the pinning tools of Google is pretty neat. I also try to keep them split up into different classes. We don't have too many teachers that request specific applications, but it's nice to be able, if a teacher says, hey, I need a program for my music class on all of the Chromebooks. It's really easy to just drop it on, and again, it's taken care of. The teacher doesn't have to go through and teach the kids how to install anything. It's just there already. Those are my two must-haves with Chromebooks. Just try to make it super easy for the kids when they log in, everything's there.
How do you approach coordinating all this with the faculty? Do you have time with them to kind of get their requirements and a better understanding of what their needs are, or is it pretty much the same from year to year? How do you handle the human relations side of the setup?
It's been pretty much the same the past 5 or 6 years. We haven't had too many changes. It's usually, the way I notice it actually is I look at some of the reports that are available in not only in the Google Admin Console, but a neat tool that's free is called GoGuardian Fleet. And it's something you can install on all the Chromebooks, and it will tell you what are some of the more common extensions that are used. And I've kind of found out some of them through that. And I'll check with teachers. So like I will, if I see a Soundtrap is a good example of that, that I'll see 30 kids are using Soundtrap every day at the same time. So I'll walk on down to the music wing and see, hey, what you guys doing? And that's an easy way to help them out without even knowing that they can be helped out. But I do offer that at the end of every faculty, or at the end of every year at our faculty in service, I remind them, hey, if you're doing anything new this summer, let me know. See if I can make it easier for you.
Great, great idea. Are there things that you can't do that they have requested, some challenges?
I haven't come into anything that's been very difficult to get around. Right now, we are having an issue with like Adobe Flash, so Google's kind of turned it off on all the Chromebooks on us, so I've been trying to get it to turn it back on. That's been an interesting challenge, but you know, sometimes it's that legacy stuff, figuring out how we did stuff the old way, and if we have to do it in a new way, that's always the challenge.
Right.
What about safety and security settings, Justin? Is there anything that you recommend be implemented in that regard?
Yeah, Google actually makes a lot of really neat tools that can help schools be SIPA compliant and COPPA compliant. Some of the things that I recommend, I've helped a couple of our association grade schools set up their admin. So what we'll do is we'll go in and we'll limit all of the students so that they can't email outside of school. They're locked into their domain. We've also turned on, Google's had a couple different implementations of YouTube for Education over the past few years, because there's a surprisingly large amount of stuff on YouTube that's not safe for kids. So we've tried YouTube for Kids, we've tried YouTube Education over the past few years, where teachers can turn things on. It's a little tedious to do all of that, but it does keep the kids safer. We've also turned on different things, like we've turned on Google Vault and made sure we had retention rules set up to make sure that if there is an incident, we can get in and see the records of what kids are doing and what was said and what was done. And that way we don't have any he said, she said after when principals are trying to deal with it.
Right. The way, correct me if I'm wrong, but the way the admin console works and how the management works is that a student can go home and even without their Chromebook, they can log in from their home computer, and basically the same security and safety settings are there with them, right?
Yeah, a lot of that, especially if it's built into email, when they're not on a managed Chromebook, it's a little bit easier to get around, unfortunately.
Okay.
Like students can switch accounts. But we've set up in some of the schools I've worked in, I don't have it turned on here at WLA because we have students that are taking courses through Bethany or Martin Luther College and they need to get into other Google accounts. But on the actual Chromebooks, we've at times limited so they can't log in with a personal account, and that's just to lock them in again so that they can't get where they're not supposed to go where teachers can't see.
Right. Speaking of that admin console, any other additional things that you can do in the admin console that our listeners might appreciate knowing about?
I've always appreciated the ability to sneak things in that sounds a little mean, I guess, but you can kind of sneak things in for them and they might not know. Like last spring, I added Bark for Schools to all of our accounts. And it's a safety monitoring program where it'll send alerts for students who may be experiencing depression or have thoughts of self-harm. It's maybe also a warning for school safety, such as gun violence or explosions. And it's something that you can kind of just sneak in, and now it's running. And some of the kids know that it's there, but I don't think most of them realize that it's running, even though we've told them that it's running. Mm-hmm. I've tried to sneak things in. Bark is maybe a little bit more big brother, but I also have put on all of it for them, like uBlock Origin, which has saved us some of the headache that comes with all of the advertising on the Chromebooks. Just being able to find all of those things and get them in through the admin console saves an awful lot of time.
Very good. Any favorite add-ons that you make use of and would recommend?
I actually have two favorite add-ons that aren't actually part of the admin console. They're tools that I use a lot. The first one is called GAM. It stands for Google Admin, Google Admin Manager, I believe. But if you search GAM for G Suite, it's actually like it's a command line interface for the G Suite admin console. And it saves an awful lot of time. I have a little Google Sheets set up and ready to go. And when we get a new student that comes in, I just type in their name and what grade they're in. And it gives me three lines of code I can just paste in to my command prompt on my computer. And it makes their account and drops them into groups and gives them a Chromebook ready to go. That's probably my favorite tool. It's also been helpful. We've had some phishing attempts that have been school-wide. So with GAM, I can go in and actually delete all of those messages from inboxes, where through the admin console, you can't do that. So it's a neat extension of what tools you get through the admin console.
Yeah, very good.
Very nice. We're going to share a link to your presentation, of course, so that people can take a look at what you presented at the EdTech Lead Summit.
Yeah.
But if listeners need help, I'm kind of curious where you go when you need help.
Well, that's actually a really good question. My big thing is I just start with a Google search. Google has been really good, I think, at updating their support articles with a lot of step-by-step instructions. And if sometimes they get a little circular where you go from one problem to the next. And when I do that, if you look at my presentation on slide 17 and slide 18 of my presentation, there are all sorts of links to people who are much smarter than myself. And I post questions there. My favorite one is the one on the very top of slide 17. It says Google Suite for Educators Admin Google Plus Group. I probably get about 10 or 15 emails from that group a day, and it's just really good to go through and read. I've actually found it's a great place to ask questions, and it's a great place to find out what's coming. Like I see people post, hey, all of my kids can't get into Gmail, and sometimes 10 minutes later, the same problem's happening to us. So it's almost like a little foreshadowing. But there's five links on there, and they've all been a great help to me over the past 6 or 7 years.
Excellent, Justin. Well, we really appreciate you sharing your knowledge, and obviously you've done it with Area Lutheran Schools as well, so that's really excellent that Winnebago is kind of helping the elementary schools along in their Google admin world. So,
yeah, we know that in the Wells, sometimes the tech director has to do an awful lot, so any help that you can get is always appreciated. So.
Well, thank you, and blessings on this new school year just getting underway.
Thanks.
Hope it's a great one for you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Justin, for coming on the show again. It's always a pleasure to have you on and sharing your expertise. Good stuff.
Yeah, I learned some things along the way and made a lot of notes. So this is going to be one of those episodes where there are a lot of links in the show notes. You'll definitely want to go to wellstech.wells.net. Probably the best link to look for is the link to Justin's presentation slides, because he included so much in his slide deck. And we'll have that link available for you, as well as many of the things that Justin mentioned. Jason, did you take away any in particular that were new to you from his presentation?
You know, it was a really good review of a lot of the different, and you know, the biggest thing that I get from it is just, you know, what a resource we have with Justin and many other people like him, you know, that are working in our area Lutheran schools that just have all of this knowledge and experience that they're willing and able to share. You know, super useful. You know, especially when he like starts sharing things with GAM and things like that. Like there are a lot of tools that that I know about, but I'm just not very good at. Mm-hmm. So you know, those are certainly great things for us to talk about and share with other people.
Valuable nuggets.
I appreciate Justin for sure.
Yeah, and I think it's very, in today's technology landscape, super difficult to be, you know, in-depth, knowledgeable about, you know, a lot of things. But it's good to find some of these subject matter experts or who are willing to share. Go to a conference, you know, do the time to prep for it, share it, and then being willing to share even afterwards. And I'm sure would make himself available, you know, beyond that, even if he had specific questions.
Yeah, so he definitely mentioned in the interview that he helped several of the schools in his area, which is really cool to see that happening within the federations and stuff.
Very good. Let's move on to the next segment of our show, and that's News in Tech.
Yeah, we wanted to lead off with a little discussion around Google Hangouts. Martin, you and I have used Google Hangouts in the past for recording video episodes of Wells Tech. We don't do that any longer, but it was a good friend for quite a few years there while we were doing that. And just kind of restarting this new season of Wells Tech and wanting to connect with Jason in particular to plan for this show, we thought Hangouts might be an option. And then we remembered that Hangouts is going away, or so we thought. And apparently Hangouts is going away for G Suite users. And instead, people will be directed to use Hangouts Meet and Hangouts Chat through the G Suite subscription. But as we research further, I think, Jason, you found that Google's postponing that until at least next summer, June of 2020.
Yeah, because, you know, our conversation, you guys said that it might be happening this fall. I was like, I got super panic mode because I use Hangouts all the time. So I was like, oh man, you know, if this is changing, we got to do something about this now. And then I looked at it, I was like, ah, no, Jill, we got until June. That'll be fine.
But it
still gives us time to do some management and some migration, because, you know, that is definitely a big change that we're going to have to navigate.
How do you use it, Jason?
So we use it primarily for our internal communications between my department. So, you know, there are five of us and we're all super mobile. So, you know, trying to keep up with everybody is pretty much impossible. I don't even have an office phone. So, you know, if somebody needs to get a hold of me and they need to do it in a hurry, we use Hangouts pretty exclusively for the text part of it. So we're going to have to transition over to chat, over the summer. But, you know, and then there are some things that because I was tinkering with Hangouts Chat for a while in Bennington, and it's got a lot of the same kinds of features that you have in Slack. So I think overall it'll be a good transition, but it's just getting to that point and kind of tearing off the Band-Aid that'll be the most difficult thing.
Sure.
Their entire business is large corporations that use Google Hangouts as their conferencing system. I know the company my son works for, Box.net, that's all they use for, and they have thousands of employees across the world, and every one of their conference rooms is set up with Google Hangouts, and it's part of the thing he manages, and that's how they meet, you know, in a virtual way every day. They use it every day, all day long. So It's an invaluable tool. Apparently, it's still going to be Hangouts will still be available for personal accounts. Is that what you read?
That's the way I understand it. Yeah, they're just discontinuing support for G Suite.
Okay.
So, because I know that Hangouts Meet has some really cool features that you can't get in Hangouts, just the regular Hangouts.
Gotcha.
So I think they're focusing development on those, and then just let Hangouts continue to exist for personal accounts, commercial accounts.
Probably, you know, not paid much attention to in true Google style.
In true Google style.
Until they decide to pitch it too.
But let it sit there until it breaks like Wave.
Right. I haven't heard that word in Google Wave in a long time. all right. Well, there's other news, and it is the fall, which means there's new iPhones out. So Apple had their big event a couple weeks ago, four weeks ago. I don't know. It wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. But they have the iPhone 11. So it went from the iPhone 8 to the 10. So 9 is not, there is no 9, but they've resumed their numerals, 11, and it's not in Roman numerals like the 10 was. So that makes it a little bit easier for all of us. So there's the 11 and the 11 Pro. Based on my observations, and there's not one on my wish list at this point, but they've improved the cameras. That is probably the biggest, I think, upgrade of them. New colors, that could be called an upgrade. if it's kind of a metallic or mint green, had a lot of bad press, but we'll see. I haven't seen any of these in living color yet.
I played with one at Sam's Club.
Oh, did you?
Yesterday or the day before. Okay. So the first day that it came out was last Friday, I believe,
yep.
And I was in the stores and they weren't out at that point. But as of yesterday,
the market?
I think it'll be a serious contender at Christmas time. I've had my phone for 4 years, and my husband is 2 years off from me, so his is fixing to be paid for, so it's time for me to get a turn. So we figure if we're on a 4-year cycle, we can trade off that way. So I probably will go for just the plain 11. I'm used to the larger size. Mine is a 6S Plus. And so I really want the big size because my eyes are worse and worse as the years go by. And my Ralph Lauren's wear out and all of that stuff. I was just curious and held up my phone next to kind of measure.
Similar size, actually. And that's good news because the 11 is the cheaper one. It's $599, $699, something like that, right?
The Pro has three cameras on the back of it, actually. So I don't know if I need three
telephoto
cameras.
Right, exactly. But the cameras are supposed to be much improved. And the screens are nice, and it's good. It's a good quality phone. It'll last, and that's good. The other announcement that came out of Apple was the Apple Watch. So this is Series 5, I want to say, and probably the biggest upgrade over Series 4 is that you can actually see the time on the face of the screen.
Always on.
Always on. So you don't have to lift or shake your wrist or some other gyration to get it to turn on. That was one of my biggest complaints with the Apple Watch, is you had to kind of raise it in a pretty dramatic motion to get it to turn on and to tell you the time. And now they've advanced the technology enough where it's caught up to the regular watch, where you can actually see what time it is. So that's good news. So I don't know if I'm in the market or not. If I'm getting something from Apple, it'll probably be an Apple Watch. I've been without a watch for about a year, but we'll see. But there was Android news too. The Pixel, well, actually, that's not new, but the price is new. The Pixel 3, and I'm hoping that this is still the case by the time this recording gets out there. The Pixel 3, which is the current version of Android from Google, is now at $499, which is a pretty big price drop. I don't know what the sale was. $200, I think, off. They're trying to empty the stock because Pixel 4 is going to be coming out. But if you're in the market for a green bubble phone, Pixel 3 is probably the best price it's going to get at. So
that's with a subscription to Google Fi.
That's right. I think so. Yep.
That's correct. Yep. Yeah. So if you switch over, you got to switch your provider to Google Fi. And I actually did that. about a month and a half ago. I've had a Pixel for years, and I was on AT&T before, and then I switched over to Google Fi so that I'd have Wi-Fi calling, because AT&T doesn't support that. And it's been a really good experience so far. It's saved a little bit of money, and you know, my phone's working a little bit more reliably than it was before, so I'm pretty happy. It gets my stamp of approval.
Now, Google Fi works on different networks, right, depending on the strongest signal. Is that how it works for you?
Yep. So primarily it's T-Mobile, but it also works on U.S. Cellular and
Sprint.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it'll switch intelligently between those three and Wi-Fi, depending on which one is the best one. And then, you know, obviously if you're on Wi-Fi, then it doesn't count towards your data limits. But the other reason that I like it is because I don't use very much data.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of a pay as you go. So it's $10 a gigabyte. And I think last month I used like 220 megs or something like that. So my data portion of my bill, my cell phone bill last month for me and my son was $32 or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that worked out really well for us.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. I've had Google Fi as well, and I've had the same experience where if you're not a big data user, especially, even if you are, they do cap it, I believe, at $60. I want to say.
Correct. Yep. They just released an unlimited plan too now, so you can if you want to just make sure you get all you can eat, then you can get all you can eat. And I think it's $45 a person if you've got four people on it.
Right. So if you're interested in a new phone and you're interested in Google Fi, this sounds like a pretty good deal. All right. Should we move on to our Wells Now segment?
Yeah. Fall has arrived. And with that, this fall, there will be teacher conferences throughout the Senate. And I know many different areas of the country are preparing for those. And thought it was worth mentioning on our EdTech discussion that there are important presentations coming up in the teachers conference from our friends from the Lutheran Schools Office. They've been working with their commission for several years now, mm-hmm. To come up with the new ministry growth and evaluation modules. And I think all across the Synod, there have been opportunities to learn about those modules. Module one about teacher growth as a formative process. Module two focuses on coaching and instructional coaching, and module three on writing a ministry development plan, which I think the goal is that every teacher would have a mm-hmm. plan. And then finally, module four on the evaluation with different rubrics and things, distinct teacher behaviors in five different categories, clear descriptions for each level, that kind of thing. So what you can expect in this fall's teacher conferences is a focus on one or more of those modules to be a significant part of the teachers conference. I think everywhere but the Wisconsin State Teachers Conference maybe is doing this, but they did let us know that there's been a lot of training within the Wisconsin State. The districts represented there have also gotten the training as well. So should be interesting as the Lutheran Schools Office transitions to this new growth and evaluation process.
Yep. They were working with Martin Luther College and Wisconsin Lutheran College to develop these, so that's good news. And I think the upside of this is obviously professional growth, which, you know, God enables us to or asks us to be good stewards of the talents He's given us. But it also helps in the call process as people are evaluating themselves, and you know, the tooling that we build around the call system can take that into account, and people's preferences and strengths and all of those things can be factored in a make sense way, and technology can be our friend there too.
Yep. So yeah, look forward to the upcoming teacher conferences and those topics being discussed there.
Yep. All right, let's go to our picks of the week. Jason, you're a guest, so you want to lead us off?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So my pick is called a website called Gimkit. So, you know, we've had a lot of conversations in classrooms about, you know, like review games and those kinds of things. You know, back when I first started, it was the Jeopardy template for PowerPoint and things like that. So, but we've kind of graduated beyond that, and now we have things like Kahoot and those other kind of quiz show kinds of apps that you can use. GimKit's another one of those kinds of tools. What's interesting about GimKit is it was developed by a high school student in Seattle. So, and he's actually the one who runs it right now. So he's still in school, but he developed this website and, has made this trivia game that teachers can use in their classrooms. So what you do is you answer questions, and then you earn money and points and things like that, and then you can use those to purchase power-ups or things like that. So maybe you want to ice out one of your classmates and freeze them from getting some points for a little while or something like that. So you have the opportunity to be a little bit competitive and have a little bit of fun. And teachers are completely in control of those kinds of things too. But GimKit is a free website to be able to do those kinds of things. It's been pretty popular in our district, and is kind of one of those tools that's gaining traction. So I wanted to make sure they shared that.
That's awesome.
Very nice.
Jason.
That's GIMKIT.com. Right.
Correct.
Very
yep.
good.
All right. And I'm going to jump in next with my pick of the week and just tag team with Jason and point toward a website that gives you a lot of different tools for doing all kinds of interactive quizzing and making creative things with your classroom. It's called Flippity at flippity.net. And the cool thing about this is it pairs with your Google account, specifically a Google spreadsheet, to make this happen. So they have things like a random name picker, where you can have a spreadsheet with a list of items in it, and it'll turn it into a spinning wheel like Wheel of Fortune. They have word search and crossword puzzles and hangman and scrambled words and all kinds of different things like that. You can use a Google spreadsheet for a tournament bracket, and it'll display it for you on a web page, things like that. So definitely head over to flippity.net and look at all the demos that they have available on their homepage. Everything is free to use. Some of the things might have advertising embedded in them. It just depends, but you can check it out. I will tell you, the one that caught my eye ties into my love for escape rooms and breakout EDU, where you design scavenger hunt type things with locks. And they have the ability to display locks on a web page, and maybe lock number one ask a certain question or is looking for a certain response that you have stored in your spreadsheet. And as the students figure out, what the answer is, they're able to go and physically unlock the lock, digitally unlock the lock on the screen. So the locks all appear in red to start with. They have numbers on them. And then when they're unlocked, when the correct answer is input, they turn green and they look like an unlocked lock. So I thought that was a cool way to introduce kind of scavenger hunt type events in your classroom. So definitely check out flippity.net and specifically the scavenger hunt. It's a lot of fun.
Cool. Kind of like an escape room themed, approach. What was that? Maybe I'm going to put you on the spot, but there was a tool that classrooms could use to bring escape room kits into the curriculum. Do you remember what that was?
That's Breakout EDU.
Okay.
And actually, we had a community feedback about that this week, so we'll talk a little bit more about Breakout EDU in just a minute.
Very good. Before we get there, let's drop in my pick, and then we'll hit a ministry resource. My pick is actually something I talked about last winter, and we were able to make available on the Amazon Alexa system the Through My Bible in 3 Year audio recordings. And the daily devotions are also available through that tool. And I'll put a link in the show notes to a blog post I put up last winter that talks about how to get that enabled on your Alexa. Basically, you enable them through a tool called your Flash Briefing, which is something that you just holler out to Alexa to say, hey, I've got Alexi behind me, so I have to be a little careful, play my flash briefing, and she'll jump in and play whatever is on that script. And you can add these to the script, and they just go and play. I was listening to them this morning on the way in, because you can do it on your phone. You can do it with a device, of course. Not a bad thing to play, you know, taking the kids to school or while they're eating breakfast, whatever. Just a good opportunity to have God's Word playing for you. And the setup is pretty simple, and just a good tool, a good way to take advantage of some of the capabilities of today's technology. So take advantage of daily devotion and Bible readings on Alexa.
I'm a fan, Martin. I listened to them this morning on my way to work, too. And I'm blessed to live very close to the Senate office, and it gets me here every morning. It's exactly the right amount of time. Okay. I can listen to the devotion and the Bible reading and be in the parking lot. Yeah, so
very good. And you can add other things to it. There's, I think YouVersion has a verse of the day that'll play, and then other news, NPR or tech news or whatever.
Fox News, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Jerks your bobber. Mm-hmm. All right. Our ministry resource for the week is a tool that we've talked about, I think, many times in the past, and that's something that many of you probably have already used or are familiar with, and that's the Synod's yearbook, the digital yearbook, yearbook.wells.net. If you do the locator, if you click the Find a Church link or Find a School link at the top of wells.net, it'll take you to this locator, or you can just go to yearbook.wells.net to look up any church or school or early childhood ministry or find any call worker. They're all listed in there. We did roll out a new feature that might be of interest to some of you, and we've added the districts, conferences, and circuit information to individual soul pages and an entire listing of the district conference circuits by those areas. So if you want to find all the churches in a particular circuit or a conference, you can do that, or early childhood ministries, those kinds of things. So if you're so inclined, go to yearbook.wells.net and check out some of those new resources.
Yep, the link's right there on the homepage under the All Categories title. Good stuff.
Very good.
Thanks for your work on that, Martin.
My pleasure. Let's go on to community feedback.
Yeah, we have a good bit of community feedback to share this week, starting with our friend Cindy Krieger, who's over in Michigan, and wrote in following our last show where I talked about WordSwag as being one of the apps of choice to add text overlay on Bible images. And she let me know that WordSwag has a sister app now called StorySwag, which allows you to create video with text, basically taking imagery and turning it into a motion graphic kind of thing. So it's currently only available for iOS, but you can be sure, Cindy, that it's installed on my phone now, and I'll be making use of it. I think that's a great find. I like the work that they do. The text has more variety to it. They use different font sizes within the same text and things like that, so that it's not just straight text like you get with most of the apps. So definitely high quality stuff. So thanks for that. Cindy also wrote in with a link to Breakout EDUs because their kits are on sale. And as we mentioned earlier, Breakout EDU is the way that you can bring escape room type scavenger hunts, if you want to call them that, into the classroom. And they do have a kit that includes different locks and as well as access to their platform, which when it came out initially, Breakout EDU was free, and you could go there and play the games that were available there. You could get your own boxes and do it without spending any money, you know, on their site or whatever. But now you can still use your own boxes and locks and things, but to get access to their site and this vast, vast library of Breakout ideas, as well as a whole library of digital breakouts that are done online, that does cost a yearly fee. And so this particular package that Cindy shared with us is for the kit, the locks and things, as well as the 1 year of access, $150. Nice. So thanks for sharing that,
Cindy. And this
is
good until, do you know?
You know, I don't. I don't know if it has an expiration.
Okay.
The subscription is an annual one.
Right.
Right, but the price.
Okay. Says it, the annual subscription expires 12 months from the date of activation, and that renews at a cost of $50 per year. So okay. After the first year, $50.
That's not that $150 is not a special price.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Next up, just a mention of our Wells Tech Google group. This is a group that anyone can join and ask questions and contribute to the conversation. You can view it all online on the Google platform for Google Groups, or you can choose to have them emailed to you. So it's like an email group. And Kristen Nickelbein, who was on our show this spring, Martin, and was one of our speakers at EdTech Lead, she says that her school is looking to update their policy regarding who can access the exterior door system and from where. And she asked for some feedback, and there was some really interesting feedback about who needs to be involved in decision making and who gets a fob and who doesn't, just different policies that other churches have been involved in. Someone from West Melbourne, Florida, Nate Block, wrote to say that he would recommend you draft up a quick requirements justification document that can be reviewed and validated. Sometimes organizations can go a little overboard with top-line tech solutions before really validating the necessity of it. And then he says your local code officials and fire inspector should be engaged. The last thing you want to do is install a $5,000 or $10,000 system and have it violate code. And then lastly, avoid anything that requires any constant power. For example, magnetic locks, which mm-hmm. I hadn't thought of. But he says to bypass those kind of things that require power, all someone would need to do is cut your power source, and then your facility isn't secure. Mm-hmm. So good points to think about. And that's always the case with our Wells Tech Google group. Right. So if you aren't a member, please do consider joining and contributing to the conversation there. All right. Next up, a mention from Shelley Karsten of Screencastify. Screencastify is a way to do screencasts, believe it or not, to record video and audio as you show your screen on your computer. And they actually launched a Genius course recently, and you can take it and earn a badge and get certified in Screencastify, become a Screencastify genius. So if you're interested in learning a new tool, it's a great tool, Shelley says, to flip your classroom, easy to use, and she suggests using it like an external mic so you get good sound quality if you are using it.
Very good. Thank you, Shelley.
And then finally, just a mention of the Wells Intersections Facebook group. This is a group started by Pastor James Aderman, and it's just a place, again, where people share thoughts and ideas around technology and ministry. Recently, a post from Adam Rose caught my eye. It was a link to an article from Pro Church Tools titled The 11-Part Church Website Homepage Formula. And Adam says, I really like this guide for church website homepages. Your goal should be when a visitor lands on your page, the content answers all their needs, encouraging their next action to remain with you. That's kind of a quote from the article. And he asked, what do you think of the guide? I think a lot of people commented and found it very useful. So always a good idea to be considering what's on your website and keeping it fresh and looking for new ideas. And perhaps one of these 11 things is something that you've missed on your own church website. So definitely worth a quick read.
Yep. And it's nicely formatted, easy to get through, and it's not a long article either.
Right. That's what we have for community feedback for this week.
Very good. If you'd like to contribute, as I mentioned before, go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, or send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. Sally, do we have a video this week?
We do. I'm happy to share, excited to share this video. So I think it's pretty common practice that our Wells schools often have a theme for their school year, and Emmanuel Lutheran School in Greenville, Wisconsin is no different. They have a theme this school year about being more than a conqueror, mm-hmm. And the Bible verse around that. And they also have some pretty talented people associated with their school, Pastor Jeremy Maddock and singer, songwriter, instrumentalist extraordinary Joey Schumann have for the past couple of years collaborated on theme songs for their school theme. And this year is no different. They've written a new song called More Than a Conqueror, and we have a video of them performing it. It's quite a great song, I think. I think you'll enjoy it.
Very good. Thank you, Sally. Thank you, Jason, for joining us once again. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to do that.
Always a pleasure. Appreciate you guys keep inviting me back.
We will continue to do that. So you're going to have to fight us off, and we're happy you haven't so far. So coming up next week or next time, we're going to dip our toes in the social media pool again and talk to somebody who has some expertise there, and we'll learn together how social media might be a tool for your ministry. So come back and join us then. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you very soon. Bye-bye.